Begin the current daf, Masechet Baba Basra, daf Memhei. Begin on the bottom of the Memdal Membeis, four lines up on the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara returns to explain a halacha that was mentioned in the previous daf, which we had alluded to, but the Gemara says it out on this daf. Gufa. We had said that Amar Ravin Bar Shmuel Mishmei Deshmuel, HaMoicher Sadu L'chaveri Shloi Bachrayz. If someone sells a field to his friend without insurance, says the Chiddush Shmuel, that Ein Meid Lo Yaleha, you cannot testify regarding maintaining that person's rights to that field. One would think, look, if there's insurance, of course you're not allowed to, because you're in the game of Dabar. Because if someone is going to contest and take it away from the one that you sold it to, guess who he's coming back to collect? The one who insured him. But on that says Shmuel, even if he doesn't insure him and he has no liability to reimburse him, he's still not allowed to testify for that guy's favor, that it should be maintained by him, that whoever's contesting shouldn't be able to take it away. What's the reason? Says Shmuel, because he's going to maintain it for his own creditor. Meaning the seller's creditor will ultimately want to collect from the seller, and the seller has no money. So then he's going to go to his buyer, because all his lands from the time of the loan, including those which were bought afterwards, had a lien on it, and they can collect from the chasim mishabadim. So there is an investment over here that he wants it to be maintained by the lekeach, therefore he cannot testify for that person. And that the Gemara just explains. Hey Chidami, what's the case talking about as we continue on top of Memhei Amud Aleph? And that is, Ida Islay, if the seller has Arach Riti, other available lands, where his creditors could collect from the seller himself, well then obviously, Alei Didei Hadar, then the creditor is going to go collect from the seller himself, because the halacha is you're not allowed to collect from the chasim shabadim, from the encumbered properties, when there are available properties by the debtor himself, even if they're the most inferior grade of properties. So then the question then becomes, so the why can he not testify with lekeach? Anyway, it's not going to be able to be maintained for his credit to collect from, because the collector is going to be collecting from himself. And therefore the seller has no gain or loss if it's going to be maintained by the buyer or not, and therefore he's not negei be'edus. So that's difficult to understand if he has land. And idales le arachriti, and if he doesn't have any other land, still then mainafka lamina. So then what difference does it really make to the seller if that land that he sold to the buyer will be maintained by the buyer, even if it gets taken away from the buyer by the one who's contesting it, his creditor could still not collect from the seller himself because he doesn't have anything. So, I'm sorry, I got nothing. So the guy says, okay, I'm going to go to the Nechaz Mishbadim. Well, that guy lost it too. So what does it make a difference to him? So where is the Negiah Bedavar, that there is a bias over here, that he wants it to be maintained by his buyer? Why? If he has land, he doesn't stand or gain anything because the creditor is going to go to him. If he doesn't have, so he doesn't care if his creditor can't go to his Nechaz Mishbadim, because, okay, so you don't get from them, but you can't collect from me anyways because I have chapter 11. I don't have anything anyway. What is the difference? So that says the Gemara, the case is talking about where the seller cannot say testimony for the one who sold the field to is that he doesn't have any other field. Now, so then what's the difference to him? Anyway, okay, fine, so the creditor will not be able to collect from the Nechasim Mishabadim because he got taken away by someone else, but he can't collect from him either. Oh, it's because the Amar, because we could say that the seller would tell himself that Lo Nicha, this borrower, who's the seller too, he doesn't want that the land should be taken away from the lekeach, and because if it would be, then his creditor will not have anywhere to collect from. Then that's going to make this seller slash borrower, the lahava that it should be, what the pasuk says in Tehillim, leva rasha b'lo yisham, a wicked borrower who does not pay up. That is his negiah in the Eidus. That's the bias why we don't let him testify for the buyer, because he wants it to be maintained by the buyer so that he shouldn't look bad that he borrowed money and now he's not getting it paid back. So though, yes, ultimately, monetarily, he's not going to lose or gain anything, but he's going to gain regarding not being considered a Rasha that he doesn't want, and therefore there's a bias possibly there, and therefore he's not kosher for say testimony when he doesn't have any of his own land. Now, the Gemara asks, however, that saif, at the end of the day, it still doesn't add up. Because what gain does he have by this testimony that he's maintaining it in the hand of the lekeach, so that gives him the benefit that then his creditor could go ahead and collect it from the lekeach, so he's not considered a wicked person not paying back that debt. But then legabe idach, then what's regarding the borrower, nami levi rasha b'lo yishalem hu, so in regards to him, he's considered a wicked person and not paying back up because he created him a loss now because he sold him something and now got taken away from him. So again, you're really back to square one. He's not the gay ba'edus, because either way, someone's going to be upset at him that he didn't pay them back, whether it be the one he borrowed money from or who he sold it to. So what's the difference? And that says Gemara, no, because the amale, to the contrary, the seller tells the buyer, that's why I sold it to you without insurance, to be exempt from any liability whatsoever. Now that's why he cannot testify, because he wants it to be maintained by the lekach, so that his creditor could collect from his lekach, because it's only regarding to his creditor that he would be considered a leiva rasha, a wicked borrower, if he doesn't pay him back. But regarding not compensating the consumer who got it taken away from, that he's not considered wicked, because he says, that's why I sold it to you without insurance. Now continuing on the related vein, and also going back to something that was mentioned in the previous daf, the Gemara says, Machar is Rava. Rava had announced, meaning he lectured to the public, Vitam, and some say it was actually a papa, that the Salkin La'ela, those who go up from here, Bavel, to Eretz Yisrael, or the Nachsin La'tato, or those from Eretz Yisrael who come down to Bavel, you should all know this following halacha, this law. Hai Bar Yisrael, the Zaman Le'chamra, if a Jewish person sells a donkey, Le'Yisrael Chavre, to his friend, another Jew, for Ka'asi Akim Va'onis Le'minei, and then a non-Jew comes and forcibly takes it away from the person that you sold it to. And the non-Jew is claiming, hey, you stole this donkey from me. Or he's saying, the one who stole it, sold it to you must have stolen it from me because this is mine. Now, he forcibly takes it away from the Jew that you sold it to without any witnesses, as obvious from the Gemara later on, where, moreover, is that he's only grabbing away the donkey itself and not the saddle of the donkey. Now, what that illustrates is that it's obvious that it's, at least it would seem, that he's taking back really what's rightfully his, but he's not taking what's not his. If he was just a thief, so he would take the whole donkey, give this to me and grab it away. If he only takes back the donkey and not the saddle, obviously it's because he knows the saddle's not his, but the donkey is his. So therefore, says Rava, the halacha requires that dinu hu demavtzi lemonay. The law is that the seller has to go ahead and help the buyer get the donkey back from the non-Jew who grabbed it away. In other words, that the Jewish seller has to bring witnesses and take the non-Jew to court. Maybe he'll be able to get it away from him, because the non-Jews, they do listen, and there is a court system, so you got to take him to court. Now, this is specifically when a non-Jew forcibly takes it away from the Jewish consumer. But if a different Jew would take it or forcibly take it away from the non-Jewish, from the Jewish consumer, then the seller would not have a responsibility to get involved to try to get it back. Rather, the lekach would just take his fellow Jew to court, because there's no rights for a Jewish person to steal his friend's donkey without witnesses and without testimony, without any proof. So therefore, by another Jew, then the lekach could go ahead and take him to Beis Din. But when a non-Jew grabs it away, then says Rav, it's a responsibility, because, and as Gemara is going to explain, there are indicating factors that make it seem like that the non-Jew might be correct, and therefore then it's obviously the fault of the seller, who really wasn't his or didn't have rights to sell this. So he's got to get involved and help the buyer get it back from the non-Jew who grabbed it away. Now, and that the Gemara qualifies. But for Amar, and we didn't say this, that the seller has to go help the lekeach get it back from the non-Jew who grabbed it away. Elish in the makirba, only if the consumer, the Jew who bought it, does not recognize shehibas chamayri, that this is the daughter of the donkey of the seller. Meaning he doesn't know that this was the one who sold him's donkey. Where you could say that maybe this really was the non-Jews, and the law really is with the non-Jew. So that's when it's a flaw and a responsibility of the seller to go ahead and help out the buyer. But says the Gemara, but if the buyer knows, he recognizes, he knows this is the donkey, the child of the donkey of the one who sold it to him, then the seller doesn't have to go ahead and be what's called mefatzaytzay and help out the buyer try to get it back, because since it's known to the buyer himself, and it's obvious that this donkey was brought up in the house of the seller, and generally non-Jews who grab it away are just thieves, so we could assume that this was done inappropriately by the non-Jew. So then that's not a responsibility of the seller. I'm sorry you fell in with a non-Jew, but you know it's not my fault, says the seller. And then he doesn't have to get involved. Moreover, qualifies the Gemara. But Le'amar, we didn't say that the seller has to get involved and try to help him get it back. That's only if he, as we said, in the case where he doesn't recognize. That's what we said, where he said if the buyer knows that it's from the seller, he doesn't have to. But even when he doesn't know, it's honestly lididei. It's only where the non-Jew only grabbed away, if it wasn't that he grabbed away the donkey itself, ula uchfa, and together with the saddle. Meaning he didn't grab away both. He only grabbed away the donkey and not the saddle. So since he left the saddle, so that seems like there are indicating factors that it sounds like that this probably was the non-Jew's donkey, or else he would have taken the whole thing. Now, Rashbam points out, which we had alluded to on the previous daf, that's why it says chamor as the case. If a Jew sells a donkey to another Jew, and not as the previous daf had said regarding a cow and a talis, as we had in the Brisa, because then you can't make a differentiation between taking the whole thing and leaving the saddle, because they don't have a saddle. And that's why we said actually in the previous daf, in the Gemara's answer, that we used the term abas chamoira, even when it was talking about a para, was because it was alluding to this Gemara over here, which is referencing regarding differentiating what is the non-Jew grabbing away. Is he grabbing away the whole thing with the saddle, or only the animal and not the saddle? So that's why he picks specifically such a case. So it's only if he takes the donkey, not the saddle, so it would seem like he's taking back what's rightfully his, and therefore the seller has to get involved. I'll be honest lately today, but says Rava, if the non-Jew grabbed away not only the animal but the saddle too, then the owner doesn't have to go ahead and get involved and try to retrieve it, because again, we could assume that generally a non-Jew is a thief forcibly taking away something, and he doesn't have to go ahead and get involved because it's obviously not him. We don't have those indicating factors, and then we could just assume that it's the non-Jew who, you know, it's the buyer's responsibility to have to deal with that. Now that was Rava or Rav Papa. Amemar, he says, afil leka kolan. He says, even if you don't have all these things. In other words, even if the buyer does not recognize that this is for sure the donkey of the one who sold it to him, his fellow Jew. And also that the non-Jew only grabbed away the donkey and not the saddle. Even so, says Amemar, loy, the halacha is that the owner does not have to go ahead and try to get involved because it seems like, hey, wait a second, maybe you missed the Jew. Didn't really do it, really maybe belongs to the non-Jew. Maimah disagrees. He says, my time, what's the reason? He says, made the yada this time, so we know that a non-Jew is a guy who would forcibly take it away, and there's no reason for us to think that maybe it's the Jew who's lying and the non-Jew is right. We don't. We assume that it was the non-Jew, therefore exempting the seller of having to get involved. Shtemach says, the pasuk can tell him. Says Asher PM Dibur Shav, which their mouth talk words of emptiness, Viminam Yamin Sheker, and the right is the right of falsehood, which as the Rashbam says, Zesta Alocha, because Amemer, who is a Basra, meaning he's from the later who put together all the different opinions and thus evaluating which was the right opinion, that Alocha is when it comes to an idol worshipper, we could assume that he's the thief and not that the fellow Jew who sold it has any responsibility to get involved and try to retrieve it. Now the Gemara goes back to the halacha of our Mishnah, which taught all these halachas regarding those who their chazaka is not a chazaka. Although generally if someone has a movable item, even for a short time, or if someone has a field for more than 3 years, it's going to be a chazaka. But there are certain exemptions, as the Mishnah said. We have the craftsmen, we have the sharecroppers. Now the Gemara goes and explains each one individually to explain the halacha of their categories. So the Mishnah said, "Umen in le chazaka b'chulu." So a craftsman, someone that does a certain job on, let's say, a certain kli, he does not have a chazaka by having it. Let's say a launderer or a tailor or something that you bring your stuff to him. If he has it, he can't say, well, what am I doing with it? Obviously, I'm the owner. Like anytime someone has something where we don't usually document someone sells someone else something. So if it's not something that's usually borrowed or rented, if he has it, it's an indicator that it's his. But these people, it's not an indicator because people bring it to you to fix it. Obviously, you have it. It does not a proof that it's yours. And that I'm a rabbi. Rabbi qualifies this halacha of the Mishnah. He says, Loi shanu, we didn't learn that this craftsman will not have a chazaka to claim that, because the whole chazaka is not an actual kinyan, it's just a simon, it's a litmus test, it's a barometer to say that this is, it's an indicator that it's his. So on that says, Rabbi, this that we said in the Mishnah, that he does not have a chazaka to claim that it was his, that he bought it, and that he's going to have to pay back and give back to the owner his garment or his vessel, says Rabbi, that we didn't learn Elisha Masarlai. This halacha was only said if the original owner had given to the craftsman, let's say his talis, be'edim. So in front of two other people, he had brought him and says, you see this talis, you see this pants, you see this shirt, this really needs to be fixed. You see the buttons and whatever. And he had given it to him in front of two people. So therefore, says Rabbi, that's where our Mishnah said that even if right now we don't see that he has it, we don't know if he has this guy's shirt or not. But the owner is claiming that, give me back my talis. That's what the Mishnah was saying, that the craftsman cannot claim, I really gave it back to you. The reason for this is because Rabbah holds, if someone deposits something to someone else with witnesses, the one who had the deposit, in this case the woman, has to give it back with witnesses, as Gemara will later on explain. So therefore, he should have given it back with witnesses. Now, all the more so, for sure, if we would see that actual talus that this owner had given to him to fix, and that had been given in front of witnesses who saw that it was being given them to fix, that, and we know that he has it right now, that of course he cannot claim that, yeah, I have the talus, it was given to me originally to fix, but I bought it from you, because the witnesses testify that's not true, that it was given to him as a deposit, and we saw him give it to him, and therefore in such a situation, even if we wouldn't see it by him, he wouldn't be believed, because he can't claim he give it back. You have to give it back with witnesses. But for sure, if we see it by him, he's not believed to say that, oh yeah, you gave it to me, but I bought it from you. He's not believed because we saw that he gave it to you as a deposit, meaning to work on it and not as a sale. Now, however, the Rashbam does point out that if the craftsman would claim that I did give it back to you in front of witnesses, this Reuven and Shimon, but they're not here to testify because they went overseas, he would be believed. As the Gemara says in Masechta Shavuos, Daf Aleph Amud Aleph, that even according to the pin that says that if you lend a friend money with witnesses, he has to pay back with witnesses. But if he claims and he says that he paid you back in front of these two people who went overseas and not around anymore, so then he's believed. Now, but Rashbam does point out that as long as he does not make this claim, rather he claims that I give it back to you but not in front of witnesses, he's not believed. Now, why? Why is he not believed? Why can he not say that I should be believed because of a migui? I could have said I paid you back in front of these two witnesses who are not around anymore and they went overseas. So even when I tell you I paid you back just between me and you, I should be believed. So that's not considered a migui. Why not? Because since ultimately he did not pay him back in front of witnesses, he could not, and that's not something that he just easily could have said. He could not have just as easily said that I paid you back in front of two people who went overseas, because that's what's called, it's a milsa davidi la gluye. It's something that's going to ultimately be revealed. These two guys who he's saying their names might one day come back from overseas, and such a thing, a person would not tell a lie, because maybe today or tomorrow, these people are going to come back and he's going to turn out to be a fraud, a liar, a cheater, because everyone says he said this guy's and these guys said we never saw this at all. So therefore, since they're going to say, Lahadam, this never happened, you don't have a migui to say you could have said that, because that's not something you would have said just like that. So therefore, it says Rabba that the halacha of our Mishnah that a uman is not believed in regards to having a chazaka that this was something that he bought, is only talking about if it was given to him with witnesses. Whether we see it by him now or not, it doesn't make a difference. If it was given over to him originally with witnesses, that as a, to fix it, he's not believed anymore. He has to go ahead and return it, because even if we don't see it by you right now, you're not believed to say you gave it back, because if you got it with witnesses, you have to give it back with witnesses. Now, says Rabba, Avamasa lo yishloi be'edim. But if, let's say, he was given it to him originally, the guy came to the store, the guy came to his house, the tailor, and there was no one around, there was no witnesses. Now, what's important over here, what Rabba is telling us is, we don't have to say that where we don't see the talus, we don't see that jacket by the tailor right now. Let's say we don't see it by him right now, and it wasn't given over to him in front of witnesses. So there, since he could say that, yes, you gave it to me, but I gave it back to you, and he would be believed, because now for sure he wouldn't have to give it back with witnesses, because it wasn't given to him with witnesses. Now, but even more that is, we say, since he could say that it never even happened in the first place. In other words, you never gave me anything. And he would be believed, because no one ever saw that he gave it to him. As long as he makes the Shavuos Heses, which rabbinic oath you have to make when someone makes a definite claim, you have to take an oath back. But he would be believed. So then the same thing applies. So when he doesn't say that it never happened, when he says that, yes, I did get it from you, but I bought it from you, that you sold it to me. So then, says Rabba, if it wasn't originally given to him in front of witnesses, he has a chazaka, and therefore he's going to be mehemen. He's going to be believed through that migui. Now, but that's what Rashbam is explaining in Rabba, that it's not only if we don't see it by the uman, that he would be believed based on this migui. But even if now witnesses say that we see this guy's original talus by the craftsman right now, or we saw him having it, still the halacha is, since he could say, loy ha'idvar mi'aylam, what does that mean, he could say loy ha'idvar mi'aylam? The way we just described it before, when he doesn't have, we don't see him have it, so then, yeah, he could say it never happened. So then, even if he says that it did happen, but I bought it, he's believed. So what does this mean that, according to Rabbah, what the Gemara is saying now is that he would be allowed to say, it never happened. What do we mean never happened? We see you have it by you. Is because he could say, that's not true. You never gave me your jacket. Someone else gave me the jacket that you sold to him and he sold to me. So when he says, Lahadam, it never happened that you gave me anything. You never gave me, I never saw you. Right? At least he could claim that. Because he could claim, but what do you mean you never saw him? You have his jacket by you. Yeah, because this guy sold to me, who, I don't know, maybe he bought it from you. So therefore, even when he says that, yes, you gave it to me, but you sold it to me, so he's believed with that migui to say that I could have said that the transfer from you to me never happened in the first place. Now, the reason for this is because Rabbah holds right now, at this point in the Gemara, that if it wasn't originally given from this owner, from what we call the balabais to the uman in front of witnesses, then it doesn't make a difference if we see his talus right now by the uman or if we don't see. Either way, the uman will have a chazaka because you cannot compare this to what's generally in situations of things which are commonly rented or lent out. Where if, let's say, the other person says, well, what do you mean? Why do I have your stuff? I bought it. Where generally in those halachas we say he's not believed because the one who's contesting has witnesses that it was originally his, and although that there's no witnesses who could testify that he had given over to his neighbor as a loan or to rent it, but since these are things that are usually rented or leased to a person's neighbors and he does that, so then the neighbor is not believed to say, well, what do you think I have it for? I bought it. You're not believed. We know everyone rents this out and lends it out, and therefore you're not believed. But that Rashbam says here, and explaining Rab at this point in the Gemara, is but here that the craftsman could say, I'm not your regular tailor, you don't come to fix your stuff by me right now. And therefore there he is believed to say that although these are maybe stuff that are usually fixed, but not to me, and therefore he's believed to say that he bought it from this person because Migu, he could have said that this never happened in the first place. Now, this is obvious later on in the Gemara that's what the Gemara is assuming in Rabbah, and that it doesn't make a difference if they see right now that he has this guy's talus or they don't see. The Uman's going to have a chazakah where it wasn't originally given over to him in front of Edom. Again, because there's two types of lahadam he could say. If they don't see it by him, so then he could say, lahayid varma, nothing ever happened. What do you want? You gave me something to fix? What are you talking about? I'm nothing. Now, then, since he could say that, so then he could say, yes, you did give it to me, but I bought it from you. Then there's even a bigger chiddush. Even when they see it by him, they see this guy's jacket by him, he could still say lahadam. What do you mean lahadam? Obviously you got it from him. No, I could say that I never got it from him. I bought it from someone else who got it from him. So since I could say that, and it'd be believed, so you could say that, yes, no, I did get it from him, but I bought it from him. And that's believed with the chazaka that he has it in his possession right now, even though he's an uman. That's Rabbah's interpretation of the halacha of the Mishnah. And that Amalei Abai. Abai asked to Rabbah, and he said, Ihachi. If that's the case, then the way you're describing and qualifying the halacha of our Mishnah, then why don't you make a differentiation in when you said the halacha of the Mishnah applies when he gives it to him in front of witnesses? And that asks Abaya, why don't you differentiate between if right now we see the talis through witnesses that he has it right now, or if we don't see? And that is because Afila, and this is Abaya's question, even if it's given over, be'edim nami, even with witnesses that it was originally given over to the uman, meaning people saw that this Baal Bayis gave it to the uman, but where we don't see it right now by the uman, asks Abaya that he should have a chazaka. Why? Mitech sheyecholoy melech hichzartiv lach, because since the uman could say, yes, of course, witnesses were there when you came into my store and you brought me a thing to fix, I can't deny that. But he should be believed to say that he bought it from him. Why? Because he has a migui. He could have gotten out of having to pay back this guy's jacket. How? He could have said, I gave it back to you. Now, the reason is because Abaya holds that if someone deposits something by his friend with witnesses, he does not have to give it back to him with witnesses. Now, so therefore, based on that assumption, which is Abaya's opinion, so he asks, since the guy would be believed to say, I really gave it back to you, if we don't see it by him right now, so ki amale, so when he also tells him lekuchi biyadi that it was bought by me mehem, and he should be believed even if we see it by him right now. Now what comes out according to Abaye's opinion, the way he's asking on Rabbah, is that the halacha of our Mishnah that says that a uman does not have a chazaka would only be if we see it by him right now, and that it wouldn't make a difference if we had originally seen that it was given over with witnesses, or that it wasn't given over originally in front of witnesses. Because according to Abaye, being given over in front of witnesses doesn't make a difference. Because right now, he can. The reason why it doesn't make a difference, because Abaya holds that if you're given over in front of witnesses, you don't have to give it back in front of witnesses. So that, according to Abaya, which according to Rabbah was the main factor, Rabbah said that the main thing is if it was given over in front of witnesses or not. And on that, Abaya is asking on Rabbah, well, why? Even the way you're describing of when it was given over in front of witnesses, there should be a difference if they see it by him right now or if they don't. Now, the reason is because Abaya is coming from the other way. He actually does not care. Rabbah didn't care if it's ra or loy ra, meaning if they see it by him right now or not. Rather, the main factor was if it was originally given in front of witnesses. Abaya is saying the exact opposite in the way he's saying that, no, the primary factor should be if they see it by him now or not, because actually, according to Abaya, it doesn't make a difference if it was originally given in front of witnesses or not. Because even if he gave it to him in witnesses, he could say that he gave it back without witnesses. Now, but now, when they see it by him, he, which is called ra'ah, he cannot claim, I gave it back to you, because what do I mean? Which is the case of which he's asking on Rabbi, saying, okay, even if you wanted to say it's told by, it was given in front of witnesses, still ask Abaya that it should make a difference if it's ra'ah or not. Because when it's ra'ah, when they see it by him right now, so okay, then he, says Abaya, I agree that then he can't say, I gave it back to you, because we see it by you right now. Now, moreover, is in that case, neither can he say that you didn't give it to me. And why is because that is comparable to things which are usually lent or rented, where if the guy says, well, why do I have your lawnmower? Well, because I bought it from you. Well, that's something that's usually lent out to neighbors. He's not believed, even if there's no witnesses who saw that you gave it over to that person. So therefore, it's in that case alone that a buyer would hold that a woman does not have a chazaka, which actually that's the conclusion of the Gemara regarding like Abaya, which is that when a guy has a right now, and since this is something that's usually lent and rented, where you can't say that you didn't give it to me, because what we see you have a right now, Abaya holds that would be the one case of the Mishnah. But what he's asking on Rabbah is that why are you saying that if it was given over in front of witnesses, so then he's done, he does not have a chazakah. Abaya is asking, why? Because even when you give it over in front of witnesses, that if we don't see it by him right now, then he could say that I give it back to you. Again, Abaya agrees to Rabbah when you have both witnesses. And when we see it by him, which really the primary is where that we see it by him, so okay, then you can't say that you gave it back because it's here and we see it by you. And moreover, it's according to Abaya, that's something that we assume that is like Dvam Hasum Lahash Lahasker, which you can't just say that you bought it. We assume that it was given to you to fix, because that's what usually these clothing are, and you're a tailor, which are things that are like lent out to neighbors. So, as Abaya, fine. That's the case when it's raw that I would agree that a woman does not have a chazaka. But even according to the way you're qualifying that, it's only when they gave it in front of witnesses, but differentiate and say, even then, if it's loy raw, then he should be allowed to make a chazaka, because he could say, I gave it back to you. Now, it's on that point that Rabbah disputes him. Only Rabbah says, what in Misa, but do you think, as we continue to come in Beis, Hamafkar Eitzlecha Be'edim, if someone makes a deposit by his friend in front of witnesses, you think Ein Tzarech Lahachzel Be'edim, that it doesn't have to give it back to him with witnesses too? And that's what Rabbah disagrees with Abai, which was the basis of Abai's question. On Rabbah, he says, Loisla Kodaitach, he can't entertain such a thing. Ela Mafkar Eitzlecha Be'edim, someone that deposits something by his friend with witnesses, meaning here he deposits by the craftsman, by the tailor, by the launderer, then tzarech lahachzel be'edim, you got to give it back with witnesses. And therefore, even if it's loy ra, says Rabbah, it's not true. A guy was given over in front of witnesses, the guy cannot create a chazakah, the guy does not win, he has to give it back. Because ra, even you agree Abai, but says Rabbah, even loy ra, I disagree, because if it was given to him in front of witnesses, he's not believed to say, which was your whole migo, he was saying that I bought it, migo, I could have said that I gave it back to you. You're not believed to say I gave it back, because then where are you witnesses? If it was given to you with witnesses, you have to give it back with witnesses. Mesav Abaya. Now Abaya continues asking on Rabbah, this time from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Ra avda biyat uman. Someone sees his own slave in the possession of a craftsman who he had given his slave to the craftsman to teach him a certain craft. Now, when it says in the Braisa that Ra avda biyat uman, that he saw his slave in the hand of a craftsman, that's not important that he saw, he knows, he gave it to him. It means that with witnesses it was seen. Where now the craftsman can't say anymore and say that you didn't see, you don't know if I have it. I could say lahadam, I could say I never got this. He can't, because witnesses saw that he has this guy's slave by him. Now, moreover, Rashbam points out, you have to say that this case is talking about where the Uman has had this slave for more than 3 years. Because it would be less than 3 years, then why would it say only by a Uman that, as we'll see, that he does not have a chazakah on the slave, which sounds like, but that a regular person, unlike a Uman, as we said in the Mishnah, a Uman, we can't create a chazakah. But Rish Lakish said already enough, Lamavav Manav, that Hagaydra is things that are movable, like an animal or like a slave, there's no chazakah. Where the Gemara there explains, there's no chazakah immediately, but there is going to be a chazakah after 3 years. So it must be talking about after 3 years, where regarding a regular person having had the Eved for more than 3 years would be a chazakah. Unlike an Uman, where, yeah, of course you have more than 3 years, and I didn't protest because I gave him to you to teach him a craft. So it might take many years to teach him that craft. So that's what the Bryce is saying there, that if someone saw with witnesses his slave by a craftsman, or a talisa biyad kavis, or his garment in the hands of a launderer, even if it was for one moment. So Amalai, so he tells to the craftsman, Ma tiva yatzlacha, what is my thing, my slave, my talis, doing by you? So he says, what do you mean? Ata machartali, you sold them to me. Ata nasatali b'matani, you gave it to me as a gift. Says the Bryce, loy amaklum. So the craftsman, the launderer, has not said anything, because as we said in our Mishnah, Uman does not have a chazakah. What do you mean? You said you were uncontested of having had it? What do you mean? We know that people give these things to you to work with them. And therefore, it's not a proof that it's yours, and therefore, he hasn't said anything. But says the Bryce in the Sefer, but let's say he says, Befanai amar talai, that in front of me you told to this other person, Lamachar belitnai loy b'matana, to sell it or to give it to me as a gift. Oh, then says the Braisa, then Dvarav, then the words of the craftsman who is the suspected thief, then his words are actually Kayyamin. Then his words have validity, because then he is believed to say that it is his, which is, as the Gemara assumes right now, that that's the interpretation. So because that's the interpretation, the Gemara asks, well, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, what's the difference between the Reisha, where a guy's not believed, if he's a craftsman or launderer, to say that, oh, you sold it to me, then why would he be believed to say, if a different claim, a launderer who we know that it was given to him to work on it, says, oh, you told that guy, whoever this guy is, that he, I guess he's claiming he bought it from the owner, to give it to me. Why should we believe it was such a claim? We know you have it because you were hired to launder this guy's garment. Why in the Sefer would he be believed in contrast to the Reisha? So Amar Rabba, and actually the Rashbam has a gear so that it's Rava. So first the Gemara comes to first explain the Braisa. And afterwards, after it explains it, then it's going to ask from the halacha, the braisa, that Abai is asking on Rabbah. So Rabbah says that Seifa, the reason why the Seifa is different, you're right, really a launderer or a craftsman does not have any claims to say, to believe him, that it's his, that he got it somehow. We know that he had it just to work. But the Seifa is talking about b'yaitze, when the talis is actually being produced, mitacha sidei acher, where it's actually coming out from someone else's hands, who he's claiming that he bought it from the craftsman. Now, b'kamalei acher, this other person who's telling to the original owner who's claiming it that it's his and saying, hey, what are you doing with my jacket? And this guy, and he's saying, because the owner's saying, I gave it to this tailor to fix it for me. And this guy's responding and saying, I don't know, but I bought this from the tailor. And actually, it was with your command that the tailor sold it to me. Because what this other person is telling the original owner, he says, "Befanai amarto loy lomacher velitne b'matana." It was in front of me that you told the tailor. I saw you tell the tailor to sell it or to give it to me as a gift. So it's as if he's claiming that I bought it from you. Why? Because migadi boy amale. Because since if he wanted to, this one who's in possession of it right now, if he wanted to, he could have told to the original owner minach zavinta. He could have said, "I bought it from you," and he would be believed. Because he's not a Uman, and the regular person who's holding onto someone else's jacket, we believe him when he claims that he bought it from the other person. So ki omale nami. So even when he says that, when he doesn't say that he bought it from the owner, but he says, but I know that you sold it to the craftsman, meaning that befanai amar toloi lamacher, that in front of me you told him to sell it to me, and the craftsman sold it to me, that dvarav kayamunu mehemen. So then his words are valid and they're believed, which is similar to what we said this on Daf Mem Alpha Mabez, where if someone says that I bought it from that person who in front of me, I saw he bought it from you, where then he's believed to say such a thing. So that's why the safe is different. You're right, a craftsman himself wouldn't be believed. So much someone else who bought it from the craftsman, that guy's believed because he's not an Uman to say that I saw you tell the Uman to sell it or to give it to me. That's the Brisa. So now the Gemara asked, however, not even from the safe, but Ketani Mias Reisha. Abaya asks, that the reisha described the case, it said ra. Said that if we have witnesses right now who see the slave or the talis by the craftsman or by the launderer, that then they're not believed to hold on to it and they have to give it back to the original owner. And that asks Abaye as follows. Hey Chidami, what's the case talking about? That is, if there are witnesses who saw the original owner give over his clothing to be to the launderer or to the craftsman to fix, so then the question is, then why, according to Rabbah, would you require that right now it should be seen by witnesses that he still has it? But you asked Abaye to Rabbah, you yourself said that when you qualified the halacha of the Mishnah that said that it's when there's a umanar of chazaka, only when it was given over to him in front of witnesses, you said it doesn't make a difference if we see right now that he has it or if we don't see right now that he has it, because you said in both all situations, a uman wouldn't be believed. Because since it was deposited to him in front of two witnesses, he would have to give it back in front of two witnesses. So then why is the Bryce saying that, oh, when we see it by him right now, then he's not believed. But what? But if we didn't see it, he'd be believed? But that sounds like that he wouldn't have to give it back in front of witnesses, which is not the case according to Rabbah. So Nasi Adim and Ishkel, if it was talking about that it was given over in front of witnesses, then why do you need to see Rabbah him right now? According to you, Rabbah, just bring the witnesses that saw that you gave it over in front of him, and then you could take it back from him. So Elolav, rather, says Abai, so what are you going to say? Dileka Adim. Okay, so because there were no witnesses that saw that it was given over to the craftsman. But then the question is, Bechira, but then even if we see it right now in the hand of the craftsman, Miyo Tofisle, but however, still the owner should be allowed to go, what do we see from the halacha? That the owner is still allowed to take it away from the craftsman. Why? Says Abaye, obviously we see, like me, not like you, that when we see it by the craftsman, even if it wasn't given over in front of witnesses, the uman is not believed. Now that's difficult according to Rabbah, who said that when it's given over not in front of witnesses, he still didn't differentiate between raw or not raw, and he said that the uman would be believed, because he felt that the defining characteristic is only when it's raw, when it was Master Be'edim. But if it wasn't Master Be'edim, even when we see it by him right now, he still could say that lahadam. And then he would be believed. But you see here clearly from this braisa, either way you're going to cut it, if you say with Adam or without Adam, it's difficult according to Rabbah. So that Rabbah answer says, Loi, no, it's not difficult. La'olam, truthfully, that where if it wasn't given over in front of witnesses, says Rabbah, I hold that the uman would be believed, even if we see it by him right now, as we explain the Amud Aleph. But here it's talking about, for example, the Ikka Adam. There are witnesses who saw it being given over to the craftsman. And Vahudara. And additionally, they see that the talis is by him right now too. Where since there's both factors, witnesses who originally saw it being given over to him, and there's witnesses who see it by him right now, so therefore the uman in that situation could not be machzik in it and to say and to claim that it was that he bought it from the original owner, because there are witnesses who saw it wasn't given to you as a sale. They saw it was given over to you as a bekadin to work on it. Now, moreover, there's not going to be any migu over here that he could have said, because he cannot have said, meaning the migu that I could have said I give it back to you, because we see it by you right now, so you can't say that you could have said you would have given it back. Now, obviously, what's important over here, as Rashbam points out, it's at this point that Rabbah actually retracts by default from what he had originally said, an explanation of the halacha of the Mishnah, that he said that the primary characteristic of not believing the uman is if it was originally given over to him in front of witnesses, which, as we had said originally from Rabbah, that was even if they don't see it by him right now, that he doesn't have a chazaka for the uman, now he retracts from that. Now he holds that it's only when you have both witnesses who originally saw it being given over to him as a pekadin and witnesses who see it by him right now, that's when he doesn't have a chazaka. But if there would be original witnesses, but they don't see it by him right now, or if they see it by him right now, but no original witnesses, then actually he would have a chazaka, because he could claim and say that I gave it back to you in a situation if they don't see it by him right now. Even if it was originally given over witnesses, like Abaye held, which Rabbah is agreeing to on that point, that you don't have to give it back in front of witnesses, where he's retracting from that concept. And for sure, if there were no original witnesses and they don't see it by him right now, then for sure he would have a chazaka. Now, but according to Abaye, as we mentioned before, he holds that the primary characteristic for this halacha of not trusting and not believing in uman is if we see it by him right now. If they see it in the yad of the uman, then he doesn't have a chazaka. But if they don't see it by him right now, then he does have a chazaka, because we're not concerned regarding if it was given over originally in front of witnesses or not, because it doesn't make a difference. Even if it was given over originally in front of witnesses, he still has a miga that he could have said, I gave it back to. But if they see him right now, then they couldn't have said such a thing. And then since we see it by him right now, and it's something that we assume it's asuin lahash lahaskir, that's what Abaye says, okay, that's when he's not going to be believed, and then he cannot create a chazak. Now, but now the Gemara talks out what we had just mentioned, that this was Rabbah's answer to Abaye. He says, no, there were Edom, but there is also Ra. Now that Abaye asked back, but Va'atu the Amr, you're the one that said, Hamafkir it's a chaver be'edim. If someone deposits something by his friend with witnesses, tzarich lefari be'edim. He has to pay back in front of witnesses. Now, therefore, how are you explaining the brises? Since his witnesses, why do you need that they should be raw of the biyadim that their witnesses see right now? They don't have to see, even if they don't see right now, since it was originally given over in front of witnesses, he would have to give it back with witnesses. On that amalei, that's what Rabbi says, hadribi. I retract. From that point, I retract. Regarding the idea of being masar le'edim, that I retract. That the halacha would be that yes, in the tzarich lefari be'edim, and therefore Rabbah holds ultimately, when do we not believe in Uman? When you have both Masar be'edim and you have Ra. Whereas according to Abaye, the primary characteristic is if we just have Ra, whether it was Masar be'edim or not. Now the Gemara continues, says Masav Rava. Rava asks on Abaye's opinion, L'siyu l'Rabbah, which supports Rabbah's opinion, which Rashbam says that it would seem to him that this is the way how Rava had said in the Beis Medrash that Tanya Kavasei de Rabba, that I have a Braisa supporting Rabba, and to Yufta Dabai, which refutes Abaye. What does the Braisa say? Braisa says, Hanisin Talisa Luman. If someone gives over his cloak, his garment to a craftsman, now, Uman Oimer Shtaim Katasli. The tailor says, you made up to give me $2. Vahalo Oimer Le Katasli Lachachas. The guy says, what do you mean? We made up, I'm only going to give you $1. So says the Braisa as follows, Kol zman she'talis biyad uman, as long as the garment is still held by the craftsman, the tailor still has it, didn't give it back, so abal abayis lehevi raya. Then it's incumbent upon the owner of the garment, the one who is the consumer, to bring a proof with witnesses, and the reason for that is because the uman is believed. Why is he believed? Because if he wanted to, he could have said that I bought this from you, so therefore he could claim at least up until the value of the object that he's holding on to, as we had similarly in Daf Lamed Vav Min Aleph, where someone had that his barley was eaten up by these goats, and then he maintained the goats to pay for the value of the damage that he had. So as long as the value, as much as the value of the goats, which he could say that I bought it, and that's why I have it, so then he could go ahead and keep that for the payment of his damage. The same thing over here. The woman could hold on to the garment as payment for what he had worked on for the garment. Now, that's because he's the muhzik, and the Baal Bais is trying to be mighty from him, his garment. Now, but let's say in the sun, let's say the tailor had already given back the garment to the consumer, and he's holding it now on the other side of the table, which the tailor gives them, and now they say, okay, pay up. He says, well, I made up one. He says, we made up two. So then it depends. Bizmanoi, if he's coming to claim his money in the appropriate time limit that's given for a worker to collect his wages for the work that he worked, which is up until sundown from the day that he finished his work, so then nishba v'naitl. Then the craftsman, the tailor, could swear and collect, meaning he'll be able to get his $2. Because actually this is one of the categories of what's called nishban v'naitl. Generally a person swears, the defendant swears, the one who doesn't want to pay more. Here, this is a case of actually the one who's collecting swears, which is called the sachar bizmanoi. A worker in his appropriate time is nishba v'naitl, and the reason is the Gemara says himself the shavuos is because since a Baal HaBayis is very busy with his workers, so we believe the worker to say how much it was made up, because the Baal HaBayis has so many different obligations, he doesn't recall who he made up what to pay. The same thing is over here with the tailor, that he could swear and go ahead and collect. Now, but if let's say avir zmanei, let's say it's already past the time of how much we give to say that this is still the collection time of the worker, rather it's already after sunset, then Hamitzi Mechaveri, then the sacher, this worker, this tailor, he's trying to take it away from the Baal HaBayis, a lavarai, then it's incumbent upon him to bring proof with witnesses that they had made up $2 and not just a $1. Until he brings proof, the Baal HaBayis only has to pay him $1. That's the brisa. Says the Gemara, Heichadami, what's the case of the brisa? And that is, Ida Ike Edim, if there are witnesses who saw that when this guy gave over his thing to the craftsman in front of them, now, if they saw him give it over to fix, we could assume that they also saw how much money was made up, that he said, okay, it's going to be $5, or give me $2, give me $1. They would see how much was made up. So if there's witnesses, ask the Gemara, then very simply, lechzi, then let the judges see, Edim Ma'akami, what are the witnesses saying? What did they say how much was made up? So Ella, rather, as the Gemara continues, Tabam Mem Vav Med Aleph, Lav, Dileke Edim, isn't it obvious that there are no witnesses who witnessed it being given over from the owner to the craftsman? even though we see it right now by the craftsman, because it's right now that he just gave it back. And uktani uman mehemin, and still we say that if, let's say, the craftsman is holding on to it right now, he didn't give it back yet. So we say that, we said it's on the balabais to bring proof, and that is what I mean. We trust the craftsman to say how much were the wages. Now, why do we trust him? Migdi baya amalei lekuchi biyadi. Obviously, because he could say, well, I could have said that I bought it. So mehemanami aigri. So that's why he's believed to say how much was the wages going to be for the work that he was working on. Now that's like Rabba. That's a refutation of Abaya, who he said that he's not believed where you see it. Rabba said, when do we not believe the Uman? When there's both Masa Be'edim and Ra. So here, where there was not Masa Be'edim, because if it was Masa Be'edim, then we wouldn't have a whole dispute about the wages, the witnesses would tell us. So rather, we're talking about where there was no Masa Be'edim and there's only Ra. So good, according to Rabba, he agrees that then the Uman would be believed. But according to Abaya, that said, even if it wasn't Masa Be'edim, as long as you see it by the Uman right now, he's not believed, so then we don't believe him. We don't believe him at all. So then we wouldn't believe him regarding the wages. Why does the Braisa say that we believe him regarding the wages if he's holding on to it and we see it by him? So the Gemara answers, lo'ilum deleke edim. Truthfully is that, you're right, that there's no witnesses. V'hu deleira. And moreover, we actually don't see it by him right now. Meaning to say that we're coming to the tailor and they're having this whole dispute. He's saying, you made up two, you made up one. He's believed because he could have said that lo'ilum dvar me'ilum. You never gave me anything to fix. What? I never gave anything to fix? What do you mean? I give you my pants on Tuesday? I don't know what you're talking about. That's the case where they're having a dispute. That's where Abaya says that then we believe the Uman. Because actually, not only is it not Masa Be'edim, there's Loi Ra either. There, Abaya agrees that he's going to be believed because then he can say Lohed Var Ma'ilam. But if it was Ra, if they see the guy's pants here that the tailor's holding on to, I'm not giving back to you until you give me $2, then we don't believe you. Because we see it by you and we assume that it was given to you for a job, and more, but we don't believe you at all. But since it's not Ra, and it's Le'mas Be'edim, so that's why Abaya would agree, and wouldn't be difficult on him, the Uman would be believed, because Migai could have said, in Lahayi Dvar Ma'ilam, so then believe me when I say, we made up to give $2 and not $1.